Hi, I'm Ty.
And I'm Laura.
And we're Cancer Moms.
We will be discussing the ins and outs of what to expect on the wild ride we call childhood cancer.
Join us twice a month as we share stories of hope, inspiration, hear testimonies from families and healthcare professionals, and discuss the amazing people and organizations who help cancer families every day.
We are the ladies of Golden Voices.
In episode 11 of the Golden Voices podcast, Ty and Laura sit down with cancer survivor and founder of Even Mermaids Get Leukemia Foundation, Hannah Soderstrom.
Hey, Ty.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Great. We are here again. And guess what?
What?
We have another new guest.
I love new guests.
Me too. I'm super excited.
We've kind of had this ongoing of new guests, which is always fun and exciting.
I know. It's super fun because people out there are doing really cool work and people are just super cool. And Hannah is no exception to that. Welcome Hannah Soderstrom to the program.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you guys.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your evening because you guys are a couple hours ahead of us in Wichita, Kansas to spend on a school night with us talking about all things childhood cancer.
Yes, I would do this any day or any night.
Bless your heart. Well, we appreciate it. We'll take advantage of that then.
So I had recently come across Hannah. It wasn't just actually Hannah first. It was the name of her Instagram page that kind of caught my attention. It was the Even Mermaids Get Leukemia. And I was like, what is this? What is this all about? And then I decided that I was going to follow Hannah and kind of see the work that they had going on, which kind of led us to today.
I love it. I have to say, when I was doing a little research about you, I hope that everybody goes to check out Hannah's website and Instagram page or whatever. I don't know. I'm sure you tweet and all that other stuff that makes me sound really old.
No.
So I just love it. Maybe you can say it in your own words. Obviously, we're going to interview about your foundation, but how you came up with Even Mermaids Get Leukemia and about the plethora of Hannahs out there when you were looking for kind of a handle name. So can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I love the name of my foundation, but not only is it the name of my foundation, it was the name of my Facebook fight page while I was going through treatment. And so, you know, Hannah is a very basic name. And a lot of pages had already taken like Hannah's fight, Hannah's battle, battling leukemia, you know, like the basic handles that people use when they're creating these Facebook fight pages. And another thing is, I'm not a big fan of the fight with cancer. I mean, I understand that it is a fight with cancer, but it's not a fight that I kind of chose. So at the time, I really didn't want to agree that it was a fight, but now I look back and it definitely was. But the mermaids just came because I love Disney and Ariel, of course, is just such an amazing princess. And so I had to go with Even Mermaids Get Leukemia because I'm a unique person. And of course, I had to have a unique name.
I love that. I'm just thinking about like how Hannah, you know, as a name has kind of had this resurgence in the last, you know, probably 20 years.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of all things like palindrome. And so, well, I don't know if you would call your name a palindrome. Would you call it, what is it when it's spelled the same forward and backwards?
People have told me, but I keep forgetting. I told you I had a terrible memory.
No, I'm right there with you. So our audience is going to have to send in. And anyhow, so
I just call it chemo brain.
I call it chemo mom brain, and I'm not sure how long I can use that because my son's like almost 2 years out of treatment. So I'm still holding on to that as long as possible. But I love just reading about your story. You're like, Hannah was taken.
Basically, that's what it came down to. Hannah was taken and I couldn't use any of them.
I love it. So Even Mermaids Get Leukemia. So Ty, I know you had some questions for her because we just kind of dove in because I love that name so much.
Well, first of all, Hannah, I think it would be really great if you could tell everyone where you're from and a little bit more about yourself.
I am from Wichita, Kansas, the heart of America, and I've lived here my whole life. My dad was from Minnesota and my mom was from here in Kansas, so they decided to stay here and have two children, me and my brother, Sam. Sam is an eighth grader and I am a senior in high school. So he is just starting that new life of becoming older and I'm definitely reaching adulthood and I'm kind of nervous.
And so kind of where Sam is, Hannah, is exactly where you were when you were diagnosed. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Sam, I was an eighth grader and right about almost October 14th was when I was diagnosed. So we're almost getting to that point.
Yeah. Wow. The celebration. I wrote that down. I was like, oh yeah, you're probably the same age as brothers now. So that's kind of crazy.
It really is crazy to look at him and kind of think like, oh my gosh, I was that young. Like,
right?
I didn't think I was young at the time, but yeah, I look at it now and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was young.
So what was life like for Hannah before your diagnosis?
Oh my gosh, life was crazy. I was in dance classes. I was doing music theater, anything acting, I was involved. I wanted to be an actress. Like ever since I was five, I was like, that is exactly what I'm going to be. I'm going to be an actress and I'm going to go to Hollywood and I'm going to live in California in a nice house in Beverly Hills. And yes, that is what I told myself ever since I was five. And so my mom put me in dance. She was in dance as a kid too. And so she was so excited. But after that diagnosis, I just kind of quit everything and I didn't feel like going back because it wasn't what I wanted anymore.
Wow. So, okay, I can't wait to follow up on that question or that kind of statement there about how we just kind of see this path for ourselves for so long and then major life events happen or minor life events happen. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, this is maybe not what I want to do for the rest of my life. And certainly I think that we only speak as kind of, moms in our own experience about what that does and kind of, Ty and I, obviously we're doing this now. Ty's got a really huge project coming up and how a cancer diagnosis has changed certainly our lives in terms of our professional career and how, of course, that would change lives of everybody going through treatment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, not only did it impact my life, but yeah, my parents as well. And even my brother, Sam, it's a huge impact on not just the cancer patient itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you were first diagnosed, kind of what some of your symptoms were.
So it was tech week for my musical I was in. I was doing the Addams Family and I was cast as an ancestor. So I was supposed to dress up like a ghost. And it was really ironic because I was starting to run fevers and I wasn't feeling too good. And so my mom and I just kind of played it off. We were like, oh, I'm just tired because of long rehearsals and being out late at night due to tech week and like doing this show. I just figured it was fatigue. Even like all of us just thought it was fatigue. No big deal. Because there were no fevers at the time. So when it came time to do the show, everyone had complimented me on how well my makeup was done because I looked like a ghost. And I replied, I said, oh my gosh, I'm not wearing makeup.
Oh.
And I was like, what do you mean? I'm not wearing any makeup yet. Like I haven't put any on. And so that was kind of the first, like I thought they were just being mean, but no, they were honest. And so that was the first kind of like nudge to, okay, you're not doing too well. During school, I would also have fit. Like a PE class, which is basically kind of like a very minor version of weightlifting. So like we would do like exercise. It wasn't like PE where you played games. It was exercise. And every time after that class, I would shake so bad. Like my body would just shake and I would have spots all over my legs and it was petechia.
How long was that going on before your parents might have taken you in?
Well, I had gotten sick at school. That was a week. So we went on the week and then I had gotten sick at school for the first time. So that's when I was first starting to run fevers because at school they don't send you home unless you're running a fever. So I hadn't run a fevers up till the end of a week. And so when I started running fevers, I went to the doctor and they didn't take any blood tests, but they checked to see if I had mono because the school nurse had said mono was going around the school and all of the signs kind of led to it. So I don't blame the doctor for saying that it was just a virus and that it was mono and I needed to go home. But I don't blame her. It made sense to me too, but it had gone on another week. And so my mom was like, okay, it's not getting better. We need to do something about it. This. I mean, that's when they took the blood test. And the day I took the blood test, I was in the hospital diagnosed.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And so that brings us up to October 14th.
Yep. October 14th was the day that I got the blood test. And then I was called to the hospital later to be told by an oncologist that I had ALL leukemia.
Is your guys' hospital like pretty close to where you live or do you guys have to travel?
I mean, a couple miles, maybe 20, we lived in the city kind of, so it was nice. We lived right by the highway, so we could just hop on and it took 13 minutes to get there. And I got treatment in Wichita.
And which hospital were you seen at?
I was diagnosed at Wesley, and then my oncologist moved me over to Via Christi, and then my oncologist retired, so then I got moved over to Wesley again. I was very flip-floppy.
And that's not a pediatric hospital, is it? Or is it?
Wesley just became a pediatric hospital, like, right before, like, not even a year before I was diagnosed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very, probably 3 years old, very new.
Oh, that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to have a new, brand new building
and close.
It was fun. It was really nice.
So all of a sudden, you haven't been feeling well. All of a sudden, right, you've got petechiae. You didn't probably even know the word petechiae before that, I would assume. Oh,
I know I didn't. And I didn't even know what leukemia was.
Right. I was just going to ask, did you even know? I mean, you know, at your age, right, you know that people get cancer. Maybe the people who, like, smoke their whole lives, or all have somebody with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, you're being told at your age that you have a blood cancer. Do you remember that diagnostic talk? Do you remember?
I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember it so vividly. Yes. I remember we were sitting in the bed and it was so, I was like, well, they hadn't told me I was diagnosed yet. So I got into the room and I was like, this is awesome. I get to stay in the hospital. I get to have my nice bed. They're going to make me food. It was just like the coolest thing for me, because I had never stayed in a hospital before. And as a eighth grader, that's cool, I guess. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then when I got to my room, there was a gift basket there for me, and it had head wraps, it had like bracelets, it had so many cool things, it had coloring books in there. It was the coolest thing ever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting gifts too. This is awesome.
Ready?
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting gifts. This is amazing. I want to be sick every day.
But you're everybody's going to want to stay at the hospital. I know.
Yes.
All your friends. Yeah.
Yes. I was like, Snapchat's still cool, but Snapchat was cool at the time. So I was like, guess what I just got? And it was so funny because, oh my gosh, I think it's funny. I have a really bad sense of humor, but
I dig it.
Yes. Those are the little things I laugh about now, but not even like 20 minutes later, the doctor came in and was like, Hannah, you have acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And like, not even thinking, I said, wow, that was like ripping off a Band-Aid. I don't know about doctors. Some of them just, they're not really personable. So he didn't really laugh. I was kind of joking. And so I didn't know what it was still. So I was like, oh, wow, that was like ripping off a Band-Aid. And I just think my reaction to it was very not like what he thought, because my mom, of course, started crying and she had to call my dad to come back from getting us food. And I still laugh about it to this day, but she's like, no, that wasn't funny.
I can picture my son's primary oncologist now. And
yes,
I can actually. He's got such a great but dry sense of humor. I
yes. totally
picture, like, that's what I have in my head when you're saying that. I was like, okay, I'm probably going to kick out of that.
Yes. My oncologist definitely learned to figure out my humor.
Figure out your humor. I love it. So you realize that you're probably neutropenic because you look like a ghost, or so everybody has told you.
Yes.
And
we did inform the oncologist of that.
You did? Okay. You're like, FYI.
Yes.
Ghost, and evidently I'm a method actor. So
yes.
Got that going on. So what did life look like for you kind of, you know, during that, you know, certainly that first week of treatment? You know, Ty's daughter had ALL. We've interviewed, you know, somebody else with ALL, but I think at every age it's different. And certainly in terms of what you remember and what life kind of looked like, you know, shortly thereafter.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is different for every single age and just even person. Sadly, I became best friends with a girl who got diagnosed 3 months before me. Same exact thing. Our counts, like my mom and her mom were like best friends. Like we looked over our counts together. They were exactly the same, but we took two different treatment plans. And sadly, she passed away this past August.
Oh,
and it's just, that's just one of the things why I love to advocate, because it's not perfect for everyone. Chemo is not a cure. It works, but not all the time. And it's just another reason for me to like keep going and spreading awareness, because like you said, and like I agree with, is cancer is not the same for everyone.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss of your friend, but also somebody, you know, I think that what Ty and I don't know, this is maybe like the 10th time we've brought it up and in as many podcasts as we've done. But, you know, once you join the cancer club, right, it's a club you don't want to, but it's the one that you're really glad that you have, you are a part of. But there's that familiarity, you know, we talk about as parents and as moms of, you know, our cancer moms are so important for us because during treatment and then beyond, we never had to stop and explain what counts meant, or we didn't have to explain, like, you know, oh, they're getting blood today, and then, you know, have somebody like freak out about that.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I'm not a mom, but I relate to that so much.
Right. But then, I mean, we talk about like how great we are as parents, but can you imagine having a friend who's going through the same thing that you can actually talk about, like at the same period of time and connect with? I mean, I think that these relationships are so important during treatment, and they're so hard when you feel like crud and everything. But then that reality, I'm so sorry that you lost your friend.
It's
but
okay.
How wonderful that you had those person or people to go through with.
Yes, her and her mom were lifesavers. We both just had so many tips and tricks that we gave back and forth, and just it was just the chemo. It really didn't react well with her body, and I'm honestly happy for her because she's not struggling anymore. And I was tired of seeing her struggling, and I know she's in a better place now. And so we've just kind of moved on, and we'll just remember her and the reason why that we have to do all this.
Absolutely. Let's give her a little shout of love. What's her
name? Yes. Her name's Kylie. Yes. And Kylie, she loved giraffes.
Kylie loving giraffes. Kylie. And how old is Kylie?
Kylie was a year, she was 18 actually. She was a year older than me.
All right. So Kylie, just thinking about you and your family.
Yes.
Well, so here you are, you're diagnosed. And what did life start to look like for you then?
Well, basically I had to inform my oncologist that I had no clue what that was. So they brought in the child life specialist, and we became best friends right away. And I don't know, did you have child life specialists with your kids?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was just making sure. I was like, yep, they were best friends.
But it looked a little different. Okay. Laura and I have also talked about this. Mm-hmm. Hospitals tend to kind of set up more for like the littles and, you know, the activities and the different things that are going on. Sometimes a little bit more exciting, and littles definitely want to participate and be involved. And for Mac, it was a lot different. Let's just be honest.
Yep. Mac did not necessarily embrace his cancer experience at the time. He didn't really want anything to do with a child life specialist, but I had previously in a previous life worked with child life specialists and just love the work that they do. I think that they're essential people to have in a medical world, especially at a pediatric hospital. So I love that they brought somebody in early.
Yeah. And she told me what leukemia was. She brought out this blood. I mean, it wasn't actual blood, but like at this blood bag, she explained to me what was going on in my body. And it just made me feel a lot better to understand everything. But yeah, no, I just loved her. Because, I mean, she basically made stays fun.
That's so great. And so your initial stay, how long were you actually in the hospital? Do you remember?
I was diagnosed on a Friday, and doctors quit at 5. I got there around 5 on Friday, and doctors are done by then. So I had to wait until the following Monday to get my port. And I stayed till Thursday, I believe, for like the intro chemo. And yeah, because I remember I had to stay 3 extra days than the initial like start because I had to wait until the weekend was over to get my port inserted.
So we're just
We are not
laughing at your story. There has been this again another like ongoing connection. Fridays, excuse my language, Hannah, but you're almost an adult. Has been the day of hell in our journeys. And every single person we have met for some crazy reason seems to have been diagnosed on a Friday. Like we just, Friday this day. So we're sitting here and you said Friday and Laura looks at me and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, oh, is there another person on this Friday?
I'm laughing so hard because Ty had so much to say about getting a diagnosis on a Friday when, right, it's end of the week. You have to wait until the next week. So you're saying exactly what
I know
is going on in Ty's.
Yes. I know exactly. I don't know what that feels like or how that actually, like, I wasn't the person going through treatment, but as a mom with her child going through a diagnosis on a Friday and then exactly what you said, Hannah, waiting because half of the hospital shuts down and then they're trying to figure out who can do this test and kind of in our hospital is the children's hospital is connected to the bigger hospital, which is OHSU. So they have their own set of team on the other side, right, Laura? Yeah. And so it was always like, are you going to be at Dornbecker's? No, you're going to be at OHSU. Now you're back in Dornbecker's. It was just like this ongoing thing. And so I totally understand that having to wait and get to the next week before everyone's like, oh, hey, it's Monday. We're back to work. So let's try to get Hannah going on her on her treatment and kind of what the next stages are of that plan. So
I got the port on Monday and then I stayed a couple days so they could do the intro chemo. They wouldn't let me do it outpatient because it was the first time I've ever like taken anything. So they wanted to make sure everything was working, that I didn't get any fevers because of the port. And so I stayed a couple extra days. But after that, I went home and then I just started outpatient chemo.
Did you continue with school?
I like to say that I did hybrid learning for a little bit before everything. Well, I tried to go to school when I could. I didn't like it, especially on prednisone. Absolutely hated that. I know you've talked about that in past episodes. We're not a fan of that.
It has so many side effects. And
gosh, the horrible side effects too. They're not like fine ones.
No. And I think that the older you get, certainly in terms of, I think that there's, your body changes and I think that certainly, the older you get and are more aware of those changes, oh boy, it does its job, but it's an ugly one.
Yes. I mean, that and methotrexate were, I will never take up anything else I would be fine with, but those were the two that I was like, nope, I'm done. Hate this. Those were not fun. I have one more question and then I'll move on. But did the prednisone like make your kids have cravings?
So it's really interesting. So my son actually is part of, he had Ewing sarcoma. So he was not on prednisone levels like you guys were, or like Lucy was. I worked as a pediatric oncology social worker for like 6 years.
That's so cool.
So I was very familiar. And that was one of the things I just kind of like, when Mac was diagnosed, I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to do high dose of prednisone. And they're not on the treatment. But I've heard some crazy cravings. But yes, Lucy had some good ones.
Yeah, Lucy, bless her sweetheart. The first 30 days, I mean, she looked like six different people within those 30 days. Like her sweet body, her skin just didn't even want to really like fit on her body anymore. Bless her sweetheart. It was a really tough time for her, but she was always so happy and smiley. And, we just kind of look back now and I had come across a few pictures pretty recently. And of course, tears just kind of start going down my cheeks. But I just look at her now and just thank God for how far she has come. And, she's healthy and she's doing well. But there actually is a really funny story. So we ended up getting a random fever. I think we were probably, because we got diagnosed. So Lucy kind of has a crazy story. I'm sure that if you've listened to our early episodes, but Lucy was diagnosed again on a Friday. And then she had some complications like every week. It felt like something was going on. So somehow we were like always back into the ED. And then a few weeks later, she actually ended up developing MRSA. And so she had this infection that we had to tackle for a while. So on top of everything, she was going in and out of the hospital. But I remember this one time we check into the ER. My husband, Kellen, ended up staying. We were so fortunate enough to stay with some sweet friends in Beaverton, which was about a 20-minute commute, definitely with no traffic. It was an easy commute to the hospital because we actually live about an hour and a half from our hospital.
Oh,
and so they kind of have this protocol. Well, not everyone, our doctor had this protocol. If you're not really within like an easy hour, we would suggest that you stay close to the hospital for your initial like first 30 days. And so at the time, Ronald McDonald House, all of the hotel options, Ronald McDonald House was full, and then the hotel options just didn't end up working out. And so we were so fortunate enough to have one of my husband's players' families take us in. And so we were able to stay at their house. And so we were going back and forth. And so one of the times, Debbie, who is the sweet lady who we got to stay with, she rode with me to the hospital. And I remember going into the door, and instantly Lucy was like, I'm hungry. Okay. And so of course, entering the ED is not the same food options as entering 10 South, like our normal, like you have Fruit Loops and yogurt and string cheese, pretty much anything you wanted, they would get it. But in the ED, they had like crackers and popsicles, and she was just having this really hard time of picking what she wanted to eat. And then all of a sudden she was like, bring it all, like in this like super loud, like crazy voice. So you can just imagine this 3-year-old and the nurse like looks at her and was like, oh my gosh, who is this person? And I was like, well, we've been on steroids for about, you know, 17 or 18 days.
Oh,
I said,
my goodness. Food
option for 30 seconds, she'll be like, I want that popsicle. And then literally it's like, I want a hot dog and I want mac and cheese. And it was just this continuous like ongoing of food that like at all times that I was like, I don't even know where I'm going to get that. But, you know, we would stock up on hot dogs, and then the next thing it's turkey sandwiches. So yeah, that was just my really like one of these like funny stories that now I like laugh about. I'm sure at the time, like I was like trying to like hold it in and like
be a
professional.
Yeah, you're probably freaking out. Yeah.
Like, oh, I just need dinner or something to eat. But yeah, it was just really funny. So I definitely understand what it feels like.
So I'm super curious to ask you, but I have to tell you one more thing. So about Lucy. So last year, it must have been last Christmas, and we went to this event, this holiday event for a local organization that helps us. And there's pizza and video games and stuff there. And so Lucy has pizza as an option, but all she wants are black olives.
Oh my gosh. So
at one point, I think Ty and Kelly were like, okay, well, we'll grab a couple of black olives off of like the salad bar to sprinkle on your pizza or something. And she's like consuming like plates full. So then I'm like, so then she's like looking around for more olives. So I'm like, okay, so I go get this like bowl, and I don't know, I probably scoop like $40 worth of olives like into this bowl. And she's just like with her fingers, like she can't go through the black olives fast enough. She's just like, I'm like, I don't even know where you're putting all of these black olives, but they won't have enough for their pizzas later on because she just black olives. She could not eat anything but black olives.
No, she devoured them.
So funny. Oh my goodness.
So I have to know, like, what did you crave?
Okay, mine was taco burgers. I needed it breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Yeah. And if I didn't get it, I would start crying and having a meltdown and saying that my family hated it. Like, it was horrible. It was so bad. And it made me so like sad if I didn't get it.
Hold on. Ty and I are looking at each other like, what? What did you say? You had to have what?
Did you say taco burger?
Yeah, taco burgers. What? It's it's like a burger.
What's taco burger?
Is this a Kansas thing? I didn't know it was a Kansas thing.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
it's like a sloppy joe kind of, but like in a burger. So it's like ground beef, your taco meat, and then lettuce, cheese, and like whatever you'd put on your taco. So mine was just like hot sauce, lettuce, cheese, no tomatoes. I didn't like tomatoes.
Okay, wait. So it's like a sloppy joe in a taco shell?
No, it's like a sloppy joe, like on a burger bun. It's like a taco, but on a burger.
So does is your ground meat have like taco seasoning or like sloppy joe?
It's like sloppy joe in the fact that it's on a burger and it's ground beef, but it's taco seasoning on the meat and then like lettuce and cheese on the, like it's all in a burger.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I have so many questions. We may or may not get back to cancer at this point in time. I'm sorry. I have way too many questions. So does one go to like a fast food place to get this? Do they serve it on menus or do you make it at home?
Well, there was just this a small taco joint that it's not like a chain or anything. It's not like Taco Bell. It's just like a small taco joint that we have in Wichita. And I would make my mom get it from there every single day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that's all I wanted.
And since it was your favorite, you might as well give him a shout out.
Right, What Maybe you'll get some lifelong taco burgers from
It was called Taco Prano, but the funny thing is I'll never eat them again because I threw them up so much that I never want to eat them again.
I'm sorry, Taco Pronto.
I know. They were good at the time, but I'll never eat them again. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry to all you Midwest people who think that we out in Oregon are some taco snobs because we don't know what taco burger is.
No. Oh my gosh, no. That is so funny. I love finding out what other states have.
Okay. Well, I like all of those things. I just never happened to think to put it on a bun.
Oh my gosh, you'll have to make them sometime. Yeah.
Oh, I'm pulling it up right now. You better believe it. All right.
I was going to say, your kids would probably love them. They're super kid friendly.
Okay. So did you crave this through your entire treatment?
No, just through the prednisone phase.
Okay. But every prednisone phase, you would crave it again?
Yeah, it was every prednisone phase. And then ocean water from Sonic. That was good too.
What's ocean water from Sonic? We have Sonic.
We have Sonic.
What's ocean water?
I think it's just Sprite, blue raspberry flavoring maybe. Yeah, it tastes like pop, almost like a limeade.
I don't know, we talk about this kind of sometimes, we've talked about it on air, but then we talk about it a lot off air, and then we promise do an episode about crazy things that people tell you or suggest during treatment. And I think certainly one of those is a no sugar diet. Somebody recommended that we do a boiled cabbage diet for Mac, and I was like, my child won't eat anything to begin with, let alone you think cabbage is on that list. Heck no. I always just laugh and I'm like, wait till your children go through prednisone, because the last thing that they're going to want to be doing is cut up watermelon with air. That's so funny. So
yeah, I don't know if you've seen my TikTok. I kind of make fun of those people.
Okay, well, we already knew that you are people to begin with, so
yeah.
But I'm just gonna throw it out there, Laura and I've never been on TikTok. Laura, have you done TikTok?
Okay, I keep threatening my son that I'm going to make one just to embarrass him. I would not even know where to start. But I have to say, I'm kind of in awe of the TikTok dancers out there. And there's some pretty great stuff, but I need to watch more. So obviously, if you have TikToks out there publicly, we probably need to watch them.
I don't know. I have a couple about chemo and what it was like, but they're just kind of awareness.
So, all right, we've gotten through taco burgers.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if maybe you can let us know at the point in treatment where you were maybe I don't want to do acting. Maybe I want to start a foundation. What kind of happened along the way that had you start thinking towards starting a foundation? And maybe tell us more about what inspired that nonprofit. And was that during treatment, after treatment?
That was actually during treatment. I decided that I wanted to do that. I kind of quit. I mean, of course, I couldn't do it during chemo. I was just always so tired. And I don't really know why, but I just lost the passion for it. Even when I was feeling good, I never felt like getting back into it. And I kind of just knew that it was really good for me at the time of when I was doing it. And now it's just not beneficial to me. So I was happy that I did it, but I didn't feel like I needed to go back. And so that's when I kind of sat down and was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with my life?
At about, so I love that you're what am I going to do with my life? And you were 15?
Yeah. Yeah. I was still young, but I was still stressing. I know this is toxic positivity, but I really do believe everything happens for a reason. I didn't like when people told me that, but I do believe it. And I wanted to take what I had gone through and I didn't want it to go to waste. And so that's when I kind of came up with the idea, because so many nonprofits had helped me during my treatment. And it was so amazing. Every nonprofit that I worked with, I absolutely love. But when I started growing hair back, they all just kind of left. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm still going through treatment. And they they just kind of disappeared. And so, like I said, like I love every nonprofit that I've worked with, but once I started to not look like a cancer patient, there was kind of no more help. So that's kind of why I thought of the idea of Even Mermaids Get Leukemia. And that's because I wanted to help kids at the end of treatment, because for me, it was so hard to get back into a normal life. I still don't feel like I have a normal life, but I want to be able to help make kids feel like it's not as hard to get back into an activity that they love.
So can you tell us a little bit more then in detail about what your foundation offers?
Even Mermaids Get Leukemia, my nonprofit, it offers any activity, or it doesn't have to be a sport. It could be music lessons, karate classes. Like, it doesn't have to be a sport. It could be honestly whatever you wanted to do. It could be a Y membership. Just something to get like cancer survivors active again and become kids again. Because like even at the end of my chemo, I tried to get back into everything. I tried to do cheer for the first time. I got a job. I went back to school full time. And then I started running a fever. And since I was on chemo, I had to go back to the hospital. So I had to quit everything once again. It was just difficult for me, especially at that time being a sophomore in high school. I was so ready to not have to worry about it anymore. And I thought I was done, but in the reality, I wasn't back to what I was.
So what are the requirements for a child to apply for the Even the Mermaids Get Leukemia grant? Do you have to be a certain age? How long out of treatment can a child be to apply and receive this grant? And can you just tell us a little bit more about what that process looks like and how a family might be able to apply?
Okay, so our requirements are very simple. If you're under the age of 18, you can apply, even if you were a little kid at the time. Well, if you were 17 and just turned 18, you kind of have like a year off treatment limit until we're going to kind of cut it off. Because we do believe that there has to be a cutoff point because there's so many just all the time.
Definitely. Yeah. And to date, how many kids have you guys been able to help?
Oh my gosh, I don't know the exact number, but we've helped numerous kids. My favorite kid that we've helped so far is actually who I was talking about at the very beginning. Her name is Nora. We call her Nori. And she didn't necessarily have an activity since she was so young, but she wanted to meet Santa Claus. So we brought Santa Claus to her house.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh. It was the cutest thing ever. My heart still melts every time I think about it.
Yeah. I can't believe Santa came from the North Pole all the way to go visit Nori. Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that so much. That's a special connection. Oh, wow. So can you give an example of something else that you might support? Like I think of Mac. Mac actually rode horses. So he was an equestrian before diagnosis. And then he also had been playing the drums. And we had thought certainly by now he would go back to horseback riding, but there's been a lot of delays there. So it's something we want to get him back into, but then also drums, like drum lessons, like we've been talking a lot about this within our own house about like getting re-engaged with those activities. We're kind of a pre-cancer. And so what are some of the activities that you guys have supported and what does that look like?
We honestly will support anything. Music lessons and sports are both very different activities, but they both support social connection. And that's something I didn't receive during treatment. I received social connection through doctors, nurses, child life specialists, etc. But I didn't get that with my peers at school or outside of school. Like I didn't have that growing up. So that's why we want to help the kids with any activity of their choice. Like I said, anything that will help them like feel like a kid again.
That's so wonderful. And can they be from any state or are you only children in Kansas?
Any state. As long as they can tell us what activity they want to do and who they want to do it with, we will be sending payment to the activity, not you, just for safety reasons.
I really appreciate how you mentioned the social connection. Yeah, we actually started out talking about your friend who unfortunately recently passed, who was kind of a peer going through this together. But I think that I don't think that people can really understand what it's like to certainly be active in activities and be social and then all of a sudden have your world change where all these other people continue doing all of the same. They're going to practice, they're in plays, they're going to school. And then your path takes a completely different route. And then all of a sudden, one day you're done with treatment. And it's like, here you go.
Yeah. It's kind of like feeding you to the wolves. It's like, Okay, good luck.
Right, absolutely. You know, okay, go back and enjoy your life. And I think reengaging with people after that, you know, I mean, treatment of any kind changes a person. You know, your peer groups may be different. You know, they may or may not have been able to manage the emotional weight that comes with a cancer diagnosis. Certainly there's maturity that happens with cancer patients that sometimes doesn't happen to peers. And so I know for my son, Mac reengaging has been, continues to be, you know, I think a struggle because, you know, he missed over a year of school and people kind of moved on. And so I love that that's kind of a focus of that social connection piece for you guys. That really speaks to me.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, even just the work that Laura and I are doing with, you know, Golden Voices, and then my idea that I have behind my Bridges of Gold project, is my hope that we would create these conversations, build these relationships, have those connections, which will hopefully be able to help connect people, or, you know, even if it's a teen to teen, or just mm-hmm. getting people in the same kind of understanding of what you as a patient has gone through. If you're able, like you were 13 years old, but like for Lucy, she was 3. So it was kind of a lot. For it was like me behind the scenes, or but yes. You know, finding that social interaction and connection. I know that was something too with Laura, is Mac wasn't, you know, very excited to be on the floor, and he did not really want to engage with many people, but Laura's personality and what needed to help her through the journey of being a cancer mom was to really find those connections and to love on those people and have people love on her and love on her family, you know? And so I think those connections is so important. And I think, you know, with what you are doing really, you know, is a really big deal. And I think mm-hmm. it's really impactful. And I think it's going to help inspire and motivate these kids to kind of get back to what they were doing before treatment. And I really think it's really awesome, Hannah. So
thank you so much.
Great work with that.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, and Ty, I love every time you bring that up, because it is, I mean, it's the reason why Ty and I found each other one random day in the hospital. But I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, Ty and I have talked a lot about how fortunate we are. We had insurance. We received so much assistance from friends and family, and we had jobs that could be flexible, and we didn't lose our home. And, you know, we know that we come from that place of kind of privilege, but we know so many other people who so strapped financially because of this experience. And I'm sitting here thinking about all of those people whose kids may be like, I really want to give, you know, tennis a try, or I really may want to go start swimming, but don't have those resources. And to receive some support for you to encourage that is such a unique vision that you had.
Well, thank you.
I have been doing research on organizations for quite some time now, since that's essentially what my whole project is about, is how can we support and connect families to resources and connect, you know, organizations to organizations and learn about the amazing work that everyone is doing. I have not come across anything like you. I think mm-hmm. that you're doing something really special and really kind of having that focus of, you know, after treatment. I think you're really onto something.
Thank you so much. That's exactly why I started it. There are so many nonprofits that help at the beginning and middle, but I have never seen anything at the end.
I totally agree with you. I haven't done the research, but I think that in terms of that support being there, but there's certainly support that we received as parents and as families, it's very time limited. Like it goes until treatment date is over. And then there's that assumption that like, okay, everything's good now, like move on. And right, the reality is that that's not how a cancer diagnosis works.
It's lifelong. And I think mm-hmm. that this opportunity for kids is going to be really, really neat, Hannah. So whatever Laura and I can do to keep spreading the wonderful stuff that you and your family are doing and being able to help kids get back into activities and kind of understand, hey, this is what I was doing beforehand. I really still love this. Or maybe it's just an opportunity for them to try something completely new, like Laura said. So it's really, really cool.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I'm curious. Did you end up finding, you know, like a new activity that you became passionate about, or did Even Mermaids Get Leukemia, kind of that foundation, become your new activity?
My foundation did become my new activity. Sophomore year, I still wasn't done with chemo. I was at the end. I would have been finished in February, my sophomore year. But I was really excited because I had made a bucket list and I wanted to be the American cheerleader. I was like, this is perfect. I'm going to do the cheer team. And I pulled that cancer card out and I got on the team.
Good for you.
Yes. Love using the cancer card. Absolutely love it.
Laura always talks about using the cancer card.
It's the most well-earned card out there.
Can I tell you a secret?
Of course.
Please do.
I actually have physical cancer cards dropping in the middle of October.
Stop it. Are you kidding me?
Dead serious. I saw a mock-up of it and I texted this girl who posted it and I was like, oh my gosh, are these real? And she was like, no, I wish they were. And I was like, done. I'm making them right now. So I have made physical cancer cards. Nobody knows about this yet. You are the first to know.
What? And we are?
You are the first to know. I mean, my parents know, but you guys are the first to know. I am dropping physical cancer cards.
And they're
They're childhood cancer cards, so they're gold.
So when are they coming out?
Middle of October.
We are the first to know, Ty. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. You have actually made actual gold childhood
cancer cards.
I love this idea.
Oh my gosh. I love this so much.
Well, Lucy is always carrying her wallet around.
Oh, right?
And we're like, oh, Lucy, you probably shouldn't. Mm-hmm. She wants to show everyone her money. And we're like, oh, you know, really shouldn't show her money. But now she can show everyone her cancer card.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I love this so much. So we love talking about cancer cards. And we, as parents, pulled them often. And we think that everybody who goes through treatment needs a cancer card.
Absolutely. And so my friend and my teachers used to make fun of me all the time because I brought to their attention that the cancer card was a thing. And then they would see me like do it. Like they would actually see it like in the make. We had workout Wednesdays. And so when I would get out of workout Wednesdays, I would just say, oh my gosh, I have to go throw up. And then I would go to the nurse's office and like totally pull the cancer card. And they didn't question it because, you know, who's going to question a bald girl?
Right. 100%.
Yeah. And so my friend and I were just like, okay, the cancer card's like, this is your signature move. And I was like, I know. And
oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
We're so excited.
Yes. Okay.
So I can't wait to buy some for everybody I know going through treatment. And
I know.
And some of our dear parents who we still are like, you need to use it. You need to use the cancer card.
Oh my gosh. And on the back, it says registered for diagnosis patients and immediate family. So you're in.
Are you kidding me?
On the back, it does say immediate family.
Oh my gosh. I'm so giddy right now. I'm like so excited for this. So where are we going to be able to find your cancer cards?
So I'm going to have a store that will also be dropping on Etsy on October 14th. It's going to be called Cancer & Co. It's an ode to my lovely Audrey Hepburn obsession and Tiffany & Co. So Cancer & Co. it was.
Cancer & Co. on Etsy.
I love it.
Cancer cards. I love it. Thank you for sharing that information with us. We're super excited to spread the word and buy some ourselves.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. You guys are the first to know. I'm so excited to tell you. I've been like keeping it in, but I couldn't anymore. I'd probably be a horrible PR person.
I know. Oh my gosh, Hannah, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's really special.
That's so awesome.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited for you. And I think that it just goes along with your personality. It goes along with your humor. It's a thing. And it's just something that, you know, when you go through treatment or when you're in the family, you recognize what that is. You mentioned the being bald part. And I think it's really hard because it's really easy to play that card when you're bald.
It really is.
When you're not bald.
I still have struggles with that.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, when you have those invisible disabilities.
Nobody notices.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, with you guys having gone through leukemia, you know, you spend actually most of your treatment with hair. kind of when you think about it. Ty's like, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I was trying to think exactly. So Lucy,
it's about half and half.
I would say half and half, just because mm-hmm. Lucy's hair within those first 30 days yeah. really started to become thin. Mm-hmm. And we actually ended up shaving her hair like in January. So like right after Christmas, we kind of had some complications. And so we didn't get back home until December 23rd, which was 2 days before Christmas. And then just a few weeks after that, we decided to go ahead and shave her head. And then I think it was about March or April. It was when she got the doxorubicin. Do you remember getting that bright red chemotherapy?
Absolutely.
It changed your pee?
It changed your pee. I would cry red and I would sweat red. I was not allowed to wear white. I could not wear white.
Okay. I love that you brought up the tears because it totally makes your tears red.
Yes. And it's, oh my gosh, that and methotrexate, it was bright red, and then methotrexate was bright yellow.
Yeah, so that was kind of the start of that series and phase of treatment. That's when Lucy lost all of her hair. And so early 18, kind of think March or April, all through, I think probably around September, she started to grow hair back. And then when she went on Make-A-Wish, mm-hmm. which was that December of 2018, mm-hmm. she kind of had her little mm-hmm. fuzzy hair that was just starting mm-hmm. to come back. So.
Oh. Oh, I remember that phase. It was so soft.
It was so, so soft.
I almost miss it, you know?
Oh, I miss my son being bald all the time. I think I just told him that like a couple days ago, and he now just rolls his eyes at me. I love bald.
I miss the soft peach fuzz.
Like, yes. Right. Oh. Not the Velcro fade.
Yeah.
No, it's Velcro-y, but when it's soft peach fuzz.
Yeah.
We have had so much fun stuff to talk about
yes.
with you. Love your foundation. Just wondering, you are a senior going through your senior year during a pandemic. That goes out to everybody in education right now. But what are your plans for next year?
I do plan to go to college. I have not decided which yet. I do plan on staying in state because I still have to come back for checkups that, once again, just invisible things nobody really pays attention to. And so I don't want to go too far because we all of us cancer people know how frustrating it is to switch hospitals and get new oncologists. And
absolutely.
It's just, it's an ordeal. And so I want to find some place where I can kind of be away from my parents, but still be close enough to home.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there. It is interesting when you look at teens going through this process that, right, if you do move away, oh my gosh, you have to go find a whole new team.
Yes.
And that's really...
And I have to grow those connections again. And
that's it. My son can't move away.
Yeah.
So Hannah, you talk about October 14th as an anniversary date. When did you finish your treatment? And from that finish date and you being a senior and going off to college, you are most likely going to be seeing your oncologist on a regular basis.
So I finished chemo in February 2019. That was when I finished the liquid stuff. I still had pills until March, but I really considered the end of my chemo in February since that was the last time I had to go in physically to take chemo. So yeah, that was just really exciting.
Absolutely. Did you guys have a celebration, an end of chemo celebration?
Of course. And I got to ring the bell. Oh my gosh. It's still one of my favorite videos to this day. That, as of now, that is probably one of the happiest days of my life.
Oh, absolutely. Ringing the bell is super, super important. It just
symbolizes so much.
Absolutely. So that was February of 2019. So what does your follow-up look like now?
Well, after chemo was finished, I went in every month for a year, and now I go back every other month. So I saw my oncologist in September, so this month, and all of my counts were good. So that's that was always such a happy thing to hear. And then I will go back in, not in October, but November.
Awesome. That's fantastic. So this is a big year, and I bet just being a senior and running your foundation, Even Mermaids Get Leukemia, you're busy.
Yes, right now I'm super busy writing essays for scholarships, applying to colleges, just so many of the little things that a lot of people are stressing about, but I'm just so happy about that I get to do that.
Absolutely. I love that you get to do that. Sounds like you don't know where planning on going, staying somewhere in state. Do you have any idea about what you want?
Like, what do you want to study?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I want to go into pharmacy.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I told myself throughout chemo, I am never working in the medical field. I will never smell this hospital again. I never want to be in a hospital again. Well, kind of changed my mind.
What changed your mind?
I can't leave the hospital. I'm stuck there. I feel like I have to be there all the time. And I just get excited to help other kids like me.
I love that. And I think that it's a place that just kind of draws you in. And when you get past that point of like not being able to stand the smell.
Oh my gosh. Schools are starting to smell like that now. And I've almost thrown up a couple times.
Yeah. And my son, as soon as those doors open, that smell just gets him.
It's just like PTSD.
100%. That's so cool. So pharmacy. I love it.
Yes. I love that too, Hannah. That's really awesome. There was actually a really cool story that came out this week from OHSU in Dornbecker's hospital that I didn't even know about this. There was actually a nurse up there who had gone through, she had Ewing sarcoma, right, Laura?
Yep.
And she had a stem cell transplant and everything. And now she works on the 10 South Dornbecker's floor. So it was really neat. It's really cool to see that this is something that you want to continue doing and to continue to be able to help, you know, other children and families understand the crazy medication schedules and what each medication does. So,
right. And maybe you can come up with the next new concoction to help with nausea and vomiting.
Oh, yeah. Zofran was my best friend. Absolutely love Zofran.
Right.
So I have one more question for you. So what piece of advice would you give to warriors who are maybe just starting out their cancer journey or maybe even currently going through treatment? What is some advice that you think you might give them?
Oh my gosh. I hated the cliche of always looking towards the light at the end of the tunnel because, I mean, that's honestly what cancer is. I mean, you just have to look for the positive. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to suck. It's not going to be fun. There are going to be times where you're going to just want to cry. Like, there are just going to be times where you're just like, this is stupid. Like, almost that give up moment. But you got to find the humor in it. Like, the cancer card, the small little jokes you can make because only you have cancer, like, in that moment. And it's like, you have to embrace all of those little things. And especially reaching out to other survivors. That is my biggest emphasis. Do not fight it alone. Find someone. And I know HIPAA tries to not get you to know anyone, but try your best to find someone.
I love that.
There were days when they were trying to hold Laura back from coming into your room. And pretty soon Laura was just closed the door and on the other side. So
I was the same way. I would go to room to room and my doctor would be like, okay, Hannah, you have to stay in your room.
Yep.
I love that. I think that's so wonderful. And I think that's one thing, honestly, that's probably the only thing that kind of kept me going was just those positive moments, those things that we were looking forward to. Like, well, we had the amazing opportunity to do Make-A-Wish. And I know that Mac and Lauren Kelby got to do Make-A-Wish as well. So just kind of looking at those positive events and positive moments in each day and just taking hold of those and running because I agree with you. There are some days that you never want to repeat that day again and you're moving forward. You're not even blinking an eye to go back to that. So I love that. I think that's really wonderful.
Yes.
That social connection piece like you talked about.
Social connection is key.
It is. Well, we just love the work that you're doing with Even Mermaids Get Leukemia Foundation. Thank you, Hannah, for joining us today. It's been just an absolute gift for us. And I look just forward to staying in touch with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy talking to you both.
One more thing. Where can we find Even Mermaids Get Leukemia? Where can listeners go to follow the amazing work that you're doing? Or do you have a website? Or where can we send them?
We do have a website at evenmermaidsgetleukemia.org. We also have a Facebook page that is under Even Mermaids Get Leukemia and also under the name Hannah Scotland. Scotland's my middle name. And you can also find us on Instagram at Even Mermaids Get Leukemia.
Thank you. I love it. Well, we thank you so much, Hannah, for your time. And we just appreciate all the work, like Laura said, that you're doing and just being that positive light and just bringing awareness and connecting people. I think that's so important. I think we live in a world where it's easy to just have connections, you know, through technology or any other way that people make connections. But I just think it's cool that you're rallying the troops to get everyone excited and just be together and support each other through a really challenging time.
Well, thank you so, so much for sharing my story and letting me be on your podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Golden Voices podcast. To find all of our show-related information, please visit our website at www.bridgesofgold.com/podcast. You can always follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And remember, together we are stronger.